We're in part four of our series, Fruited. If you watched my little live stream yesterday, you know that I've been working hard on the series that will start 2 weeks from today as we finish Fruited and move on to the next thing. I'm really excited about this next series and where God is taking us next. And I think that it will really speak to us. But right now, this series, which the Lord led me to start planning this series back in early March, before even, you know, we knew what the world was going to look like in such a short time. But we've been looking at, what does it mean to be a Christian, and how do you know you really are one? There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians, who define themselves as Christian, and that word gets a lot of usage, but how do we know? And the previous series, we talked about, what does it mean to be rooted? What does it mean to really find our roots and our basis in Christ? And now this has been talking about, now how does that change us? How does that mold us? And so we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount and looking at what Jesus says about life in the kingdom. And so some of the things that we've seen so far is Jesus talked about not living your life for people to see, to not focus on the outward. And if you grew up in the church like I did, it's easy to have that become the focus. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're not supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to dress. This is how you're supposed to act. And there starts to be a great focus on all the externals, because that's what we can see. And so that's what we react to. And so we oftentimes, you know, the church culture a lot of times has been, you put on your best clothes and behavior and attitudes for that little space of time on Sunday morning. And then the rest of the time, you might be very different. And that behavior has always been something that is why so often children, it's not the only reason, but oftentimes why children have abandoned the church and abandon the faith, because they say, well, all it was an act, because the only time it really was on was Sunday morning, or when people came over, when there were people to see. And Jesus has warned us against that, that don't let your focus be on the outward, on the visible, so people can see. Beware of that, he said. He also told us to not prioritize and value things here, and he talked about the treasure. And really, when we focus on the outward, then we start focusing everything on the outward. We start focusing on things here. And he said the problem is treasures here are so easily threatened and lost. And again, that's so much a part of what's going on right now. You know, as countries around the world close down to try to slow down the virus spread, a lot of treasures got lost, and it upset people. And even now, things are being lost, and things are being threatened, and it upsets us. It causes worry when we value things here and prioritize things here. Jesus said, let your treasure be in the kingdom, and let your treasure be the kingdom. And we talked about that. Then last week we looked at, then he taught, treat others as you want to be treated, and as God has treated you. And so all of this is talking about realigning ourselves into a different way of life, where our lives reflect God's kingdom, not the kingdom here. And that's going to set us apart. It's going to make us different. Jesus said you'll be like a light in the darkness, because your whole system of living reflects the life of God, not the life of this world, which those are two different things. So that's what we've been looking about. This is all about guarding our heart and watching our approach of, am I living for here? Am I living for now? And am I living for good appearances? So then as he continues his teaching, and this is all one big teaching, what about other people? What do we do with others? I'm just going to pray again as we dive in this morning. Father, just be with us right now. As we open your word, may we hear your words. This is you speaking to us, not just through your inspired word of God, but also it is quoting you here on earth teaching. So, Lord, may those words burn deep into our souls and resonate and show us about ourselves. And may we not resist your work in our lives this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Matthew 7. Last time we stopped in verse 14, looking at the wide and the narrow gate. As Jesus talked about, this way of treating people really separates between what most people do and what we're called to do. So now, starting in 15 through 23. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So there, again, a passage that we're probably familiar with. If you've been around church for a while, you've probably encountered many of the parts of the Sermon on the Mount. But again, so often we've taken these in pieces and missed the wider point. So let's unpack what we've just read this morning. He talks about, as he warns against wolves in sheep clothing, he is talking about those who are primarily right on the outside. Primarily right on the outside. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are outwardly sheep, is what he says there. Okay? He says they're outwardly sheep. Inwardly, they're wolves. They're not just wolves, they're hungry wolves. And that's a term that hunger is a term that the biblical writers and Jesus use a lot to describe what the human heart is like. It's hungry. What does it always want? More. It wants what it wants. It's hungry for things. And so hunger or thirst oftentimes is used in the Bible as a metaphor for our flesh and the things we want. Because there are things we want, just like you want drink and you want food. And so here they are ravenous wolves. They're not just hungry, they're really hungry. They're driven by a hunger, a need, a passion. But they look like sheep, and we miss that. We miss the fact that they look like sheep. A lot of times we go, they're wolves in sheep's clothing, and we focus on the wolves, and then I think we have this idea that we're going to recognize them. Because they're going to look like wolves that are trying to pretend to be sheep. But that's not what he said. He said they look like sheep. And he talks a bit about them, and we just need to consider this for a minute. They do the right things. They say the right things. They go through the right motions. They don't look like wolves. And we have to start with remembering that. Because I think that we so often we go, oh, well, I can recognize, well, they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. The whole point is, and the way he says, beware. Because they're going to look like sheep. And then if you look down through, look at the things they're doing. They're saying, Lord, Lord. And they're doing things. They're doing really good things. Verse 22. Prophesying in the name of Christ. Casting out demons and performing miracles. They're doing great things. I think we have this idea that they're going to come in and they're going to tell us they're Christians, but we're going to see their, you know, their mustache that they twirl as they're like, and we go, oh, I can tell you, yeah, you're dangerous. But he says, no, they don't look like the villain. They look like sheep. And they do good things. They don't look like wolves. And we have to start with that, because the people of God too often have been deceived. On Wednesday, not the last 2 weeks, but as we've been studying Jeremiah, in the time of Jeremiah, God's people had a whole bunch of prophets that were prophesying all the time, and the king were all telling the people the same thing, and it was all wrong, and none of it was from God, but they said it was, and it sounded good, and God's people were fooled. And we have to be careful. That's what he says. Beware, because they look like sheep. So then, well, then how are you supposed to know? If they say, Lord, Lord, and they're doing impressive spiritual feats like miracles, well, then how are you supposed to know? Well, he said, you will know them by their fruit. Well, what does that mean? Especially if fruit isn't what we thought it was. Fruit is not simply words and actions for public consumption. It comes back to Matthew 6 that we studied right back at the beginning of this, right? Beware of practicing your righteousness before men that you'll be noticed by them. Otherwise, you'll have no reward. In other words, he says, righteousness, good deeds, and good words, because he talks about prayer, down in verse 5. He says, when what you do is primarily a public thing, it has no value, no reward in heaven. And he compares it here to the Pharisees who didn't know God, but thought they did. And so often we look at a public figure, a minister or a politician, and say, well, look at the good things they do. They say the right things. They do the right things. But verse 22, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied and we did all these things. And he goes, but I never knew you. Verse 23, you weren't mine ever. I never knew you. Not, I don't know you anymore. I never knew you. These outward deeds and outward words were worthless. And yet, how often have we allowed ourselves to go, oh, well, look what they did. Look what they said. And we followed false teachers who said the right things and did the right things. They were saying, Lord, Lord, and they were performing great feats. And we go, surely they are a Christian because they look like sheep. They have all the appearances of sheep. But think about this. Jonah, who, if you read the book of Jonah, Jonah has great theology. Chapter 2 of Jonah is Jonah knowing how to pray like a champ when it comes to being a Jew. But if you read through the book of Jonah, you do not see Jonah having a heart after God. You see God trying to get through to Jonah, and the book ends without Jonah ever showing a heart of God. Jonah preaches through the city and then sits out there and goes, I hope they all die. And he's mad when they don't. And God's like, shouldn't I have compassion? Jonah, you should have some compassion. Cain. Get right back to Genesis. Cain sacrificed. The sacrifice was rejected. Why? The heart. And we see that immediately, because then he's angry because I did the right thing and God didn't appreciate it. And God's like, sin is trying to get you. It's crouching on you. Cain, change your heart. Cain, stop. The fruit or let's just call it, talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is defined in different ways, but one of the big ways, and I've been taking us through this a little bit over the last few weeks in some short videos, but the fruit of the Spirit is not a behavior set. The fruit of the Spirit is not do this, do this, do this, do this. Instead, the fruit of the Spirit is your inward life. Doing good things will never change your insides. It'll never make you good inside. Any more than sticking an apple on a tree fixes the roots of the tree. It's funny, this spring when we had the late snow, I have several apple trees in my yard. They all just create these little sour apples. They're ornamental trees. It's very disappointing. I got excited when I first moved there. But one of the trees, one of the branches got weighed down by the snow too much, and it broke off and fell down, but it didn't completely break off. It just mostly broke off. It's a young tree because they'd cut it down but didn't get the root out. Now it's re-sprouted, so it has a bunch of shoots up over the last few years. So it was one of those saplings branches that had fallen over. Out of the entire tree, none of the tree flowered this year. Not going to get any even ornamental apples off this thing because none of it flowered. The branch that fell off and was hanging by a thread, that one flowered. It was the weirdest thing in the world. I don't know why. If you're an arborist and you can explain this to me, I'd love to hear, because Esther and I were marveling at this, that you had this one branch on the ground covered in beautiful blossoms and the rest of the tree is just green. So it definitely looked like the healthiest branch, and yet it was the most disconnected, and now it's withered. It will never; those blossoms will never produce fruit because it's disconnected from the tree. Fruit doesn't fix a root issue. Roots affect fruit, but fruits do not lead to roots. You can't have the reverse. So let me ask you, think about how often you or me or others defend a bad attitude, impatience, ungentleness, unloving, by pointing to good works. I mean, let's think about that for a minute. Do you defend bad attitudes by pointing to good works? This could be really uncomfortable. I've seen people in church do this. Yeah, but look how much I've given. But look how faithful I am. I've watched pastors do this. I've watched people who consider themselves leaders in the church do this, where they will treat others in the church really mean, critical, divisive, and tear down. But look, do you know how much I've done for this church? So in other words, although I am not being kind, gentle, loving, peaceable, which are the fruit of the Spirit, but I have said, Lord, Lord, and I have performed many miracles in his name. How about if you're a spouse and your spouse has said to you, I don't like how you treat me, or I don't like what your attitude is like. It's hurtful to me. And you said, but look what I've done for you. I cooked your meals, or I went out and earned your money. Look what I've done. What more do you want from me? I've said, Lord, Lord, and I've performed many miracles. Isn't that good enough? Have you ever done that? Have you ever used your attitudes to defend? I mean, used your actions to defend your attitudes? This is what he's warning about here. And now let's just be clear, because I'm right now applying it to ourselves. And I think that's a good, valid question to deal with at first. Because it's something I can do. Something I have done. Do you defend having a sinful heart by pointing to good exterior? That's what this whole sermon has been partially about. But now, that's not enough. Because this part here is a warning to believers. Verse 15, beware of the false prophet. So it's not just about being careful that you do not have this tendency. There's more. We got to be careful who we follow and listen to. That's what Jesus' point is. Beware of those who will come in among you. Beware of those that will try to say that they are one of you, and they will look like sheep. And as a church, we have oftentimes done a terrible job of this, because we get behind people who tell us the right things, say the right things, even do the right things, and we go, oh, they're one of us. And then later, when it comes apart, or either later we find out, oh, and there was all these warning signs, but we didn't pay attention because they were saying and doing the right things. So sometimes, like, there are churches that have allowed abusers to run free in the church because they said and did all the right things, even while in the background, bad things were happening, and people knew behind the scenes. But the public stuff was okay. People knew that in meetings, this man or this woman was nasty. People knew that outside of the church, this person gossiped and spread dissension. But they were so good on Sunday. And think of all they've done for the church. Same with politicians that will fight for us. Oh, I will fight for you. I will value your values. Oh, you're a Christian. Not even if you say, Lord, Lord. Jesus said, not even. Many will say, Lord, Lord, and that's not a sign that they're sheep. What does he say we got to ask? Because he says, you can know them. But you'll know them by their fruit. That's what he said. And remember, the fruit is not you'll know them because they say and do the right things. Because he said, that's not the fruit. What does the attitudes, the behind-the-scenes life say? If you think about when it comes to when Paul was trying to help the church, help Timothy know how to recognize a leader, and you go to in Timothy and Titus, where Paul teaches on how do you spot a leader? How do you spot someone that should lead other people? He talks about behind-the-scenes behavior. He talks about behind-the-scenes character. He says, do they have a good reputation in the community? Do they have a good reputation at home? Are they given to anger? Are they given to fights? Do they have this? What's the legacy behind the scenes? What does the behind the scenes life say? Are there signs of fruit? And that fruit, again, is what? Good deeds and good words? No. The fruit is evidence of a changed heart. So what does the testimony of their behind-the-scenes behavior say? And that's why Paul tells Timothy to look at a man's home life. What are his kids? Do his kids respect his leadership? Because the kids, if he's a fake, the kids will know. His people that he interacts with on a day-to-day basis will have a much better view of him. So among people who aren't Christians, do they look at him and go, wow, yeah, there's character there. We see it. It's consistent. There's fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Because those things in the heart will then play out in good words and good deeds. But as I've told you before, when it comes to Sunday morning, you know, back when we were able to be here, you say, oh, Ira is so nice. I can be nice to anyone for an hour and a half. The meanest people in the world have had times where they could be nice, especially if it served their purpose. But it didn't mean that their hearts had changed. And many will say, and they may not even realize they're being fake, but many will say, Lord, Lord, I did all the right things and I said all the right things. And Jesus will say, but I've never met you. We need to be careful. That's what he said. Verse 15, beware. Be alert of those that will tell you that they're one of you. But inside, they're driven by their passions, not by the fruit of the Spirit. May we be careful, protect our testimony, and again, looking to ourselves, the log in our own eye, may we beware that we are not considering ourselves good because of outward right words and right behavior without a heart that's been transformed by dying to self, crucifying the flesh, and allowing the risen Lord to envelop you in the love that sent him to the cross on your behalf. And allow that love to change you from the inside out. If this hits close to home for you, reach out. If you hear these words of Jesus and they cut you to the bone, praise the Lord. Reach out. Confess to someone else who knows the Lord. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another so that we may experience grace, so that we may experience reconciliation, so that we may begin to taste the sanctifying forgiveness of Jesus as we do that for each other. Doing this is almost impossible to do by yourself. That's why we are called to be the church. Don't try to fix it. Reach out. Let's pray. Oh, Father, so often over the decades and centuries, your church has at times embraced the wrong people, has allowed people to come in who were abusive, have allowed abusive people to thrive within the church. Lord, so often we ourselves have found ourselves defending a sinful heart based on right actions. Lord, we would much rather do good things than humble ourselves and admit the sinfulness and evil of our own hearts and to lay ourselves bare before you. Lord, help us never to defend a sinful heart because we did or said the right things. Lord, instead, may we daily confess our own lostness and the fact that our only hope rests in abiding in you. And that when we abide in you, when we relinquish ourselves to you, that then we will bear much fruit and our outward actions will show. Not because we're trying to perform well, but just because our hearts take us in good directions. Because you lead us in good directions. And you begin to shine through us with very little effort on our own. Because we're different, we've been changed, we're suddenly new people. And so, Lord, let us get away from trying to change ourselves and get back to dying to self. And, Lord, as we see people come into our lives, whether it be teachers, internet personalities, celebrities, politicians, who say, Lord, Lord, and do good public works, may we take your admonition seriously to beware, because we know that there are those who would prey upon your people, because they inwardly, they desire something. They are looking for something from us. They are ready for lamb chops. And in their hunger, they will tell us and tell us the things we want to hear and do the things we want to see. They will say, Lord, Lord, and perform miracles. But inwardly, they have not been changed by your Holy Spirit. May we be wise and careful. Thank you, Father, for patience with us and for warning us and helping us see how we really are and how we are with each other. Lead us in wisdom. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We look forward to the days coming back. Boy, someday I'm just like, just hurry up and get here, Lord. Which is what we read in the end of the book in Revelation. Lord, come quickly. At the same time, I am thankful for the time he has given us. Not because I think right now is better than then. No, then is going to be far greater than now. But because there are people who don't know yet, and may that be our motivation every day. May we be burdened by those who are not ready for his coming again. As you deal with the news, as you deal with these situations, as you deal with all these hard things, let's be the church, which means that we find our identity in him and then in caring for one another, especially for those of us who have confessed him, but then, oh, so much out into our friends and neighbors and family who don't know how much he loves them, that he would come and die for them. And as right now our world and our nation is dealing with the mistreatment of others and anger and frustration, and whether it's charging all people of one race with the bad behavior of some, or one profession, like law enforcement, with the bad behavior of some. May we see each person as created in God's image, died for by Jesus, and in need of redemption, no matter how wrong their actions may be. And may we champion a sinful world that needs a Savior. And may what we bring into the conversation always be pointing people towards the heart of Jesus. I'm praying for you. I miss you. I look forward to connecting. If you're able to join us, today is going to be an interesting study of David having a really rough day, as we continue our study of the life of David at 3 o'clock today. Until then, Father, be with us throughout this day and week. Be with our country. Be with all those who are suffering, whether they are suffering because they are discriminated against, because they have health issues, because they have economic challenges, because they have difficult jobs. Lord, our country and our world is full of people who are struggling. And Lord, you came and you reached out to all those who were ready to lay down their lives for to allow you to live in them, because you came down and laid down your life for us. May we, whatever else we are, be your people and be your church. May your fruit of the Spirit, may your heart and passion live through us. As we began our time this morning, Lord, reign in us. Thank you, Father, for your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.